But I'm going to read first from Isaiah chapter 10, Old Testament, New Testament as well. I'm doing what I call a one-time message here today. I really felt led to go ahead and speak about today, breaking yokes. Breaking yokes are things that God, I believe, wants His people to realize He's already purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't find ourselves in bondage to those things anymore. And so we're talking this morning here about yoke-breaking power. Not the yokes, of course, that come from eggs. But the yoke that actually in the old days, they used a yoke to actually bond and bring two animals together to actually plow the fields and do work there in the harvest for nations around the entire face of the earth. So breaking yokes is this message title. Isaiah chapter 10 and starting here in verse 27, it says, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder, his yoke from your back or from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." So it shows here there can be a thing called a bad yoke. There also can be a thing called a good yoke. The good yoke is in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And again, a yoke again is something that binds and brings two animals together. It helps them to take and accomplish more together than they could, of course, by themselves. The Bible uses words like don't be unequally yoked with folks around you that are unbelievers. And so God shows us here that yoking together is an important thing, not just in the realm of the animal kingdom, but also the realm of the spirit. In fact, also the Bible talks about how there's fellow yoked fellows. That Paul the Apostle had Timothy as a yoked fellow, a bondsman with him. And God, again, very, very plainly showed us in the time he was there in Myanmar, how that mentors can actually be a blessing to those that are actually under them, learning the ropes and ministry in a dramatic type fashion. You're going to find in the natural realm there that whenever they want to take and train an oxen, for example, a young oxen to take and plow the fields correctly, they always yoke the young oxen to an older oxen because the older oxen knows the ropes, he knows how to plow straight, knows what the command of the master is, can hear the master's voice. When the master gives commands, he knows what the master is actually saying to him. So it's very, very good to have the young oxen with the older oxen so the younger oxen can take and learn things together. Even when the older oxen stumbles and falls, he even learns from mistakes and things like that as well. On this trip we just came from, we had, of course, Chuck Lenhart had his son Jordan with him. And not Jordan, his real name is Jared. Yes, I got these Jareds and Kylas mixed up here. Sorry about that. Jared was with him. Jared's 20 years old, and Jared was actually giving his first message in that nation of Myanmar about, again, 8 days ago, to tremendous work for God. Jared's going to go ahead and move to Chengdu, China, in about 2 months from now. His roommate, future roommate, came with him also, a guy named Eric, did a great job also together. But as Jared's watched his own father, Chuck Lenhart, work in the harvest fields all of his life, he's learned much from his own dad, being yoked together with him in that way. I'm glad to have my daughter come and my son-in-law, Kristen and Jeremy. They learned, I hope, some things from me and past trips, this trip as well. They learned things from being around Jack Adams also, being yoked together with him, as well as Sylvia. And so going out together in pairs, the Bible says that Jesus Christ himself would send them out two by two. And I pray that here at Tree of Life Church, we're going to see more and more mentors being raised up to take and pour into the lives of our young people, our sons, our daughters, and our grandsons, and our granddaughters, because that yoke, being yoked together, gives the best training we can ever have by seeing practical things happening right before our eyes. Amen? A burden is talked about here. A burden is actually conveyed, it's borne, it's actually carried. It's not only a weight that's carried, it's also a concern, a responsibility. It's something that may fall upon the shoulders of people that God puts anointings upon their lives. The Bible says the government shall be upon his shoulders. And so the shoulders always typifies and symbolizes government and realms of responsibility. Now, how many folks realize when you receive the Holy Spirit inside your life, he wants to give you a thing called an anointing? Amen? The anointing, the Bible says, does what? The anointing breaks the yoke. So God gives you his yoke, that you might break other yokes by the power of the Holy Spirit. What God is telling us today is, when you receive his anointing, You also receive a thing called responsibility. You receive a burden. You receive something to carry in your life. And so the anointing brings forth to you a burden. It brings forth to you a call, a vision. It gets your face set against something that God hates that you also find yourself hating as well. It also gives you a call to do those things that God calls you to do. I told the folks in Myanmar, I said that, you know, soldiers and armies, they've got stripes and symbols on their shoulders that shows the ranking in the Army, Navy, Air Force, or the Marines. Those stripes there are not just to look pretty and be decorative there. They're actually to show the responsibilities and the weight and the burden that person carries who has the stripes on their shoulders. Amen. And so it's not just about looking good and seeing things where men would awe us or whatever around us, give us praise for that. It shows us levels of responsibility also in God's kingdom. So to have a kingdom responsibility also, understand, makes you a target of the enemy. Amen? Satan sees your rankings also in the heavenly realm. That's why God will never put you in a place where you find yourself receiving temptations and counterattacks from the devil that you cannot take by God's might, by God's power, and by God's Spirit. Even in trips like this, going overseas to Asia, to an Asian nation that's right now receiving the gospel of Christ in a strong way, where there's Buddhist demons all around us, we always go there in a circumspect way, realizing there are strong demonic forces all around us who don't want us to be there. And so we always pray about our health, about our schedule, about what we eat, and about how we also don't receive any temptations or anything upon our lives or our soul or our hearts or our minds the enemy tries to throw at us on trips like this. I even pray and ask God to help me watch my conversation, watch my speech, and work together in harmony with the team around me, and that no strife can come in those teams like that. I've seen so many times in short-term missions trips how young baby Christians going on trips like that, Satan will push their buttons and make every offense and every angry thing inside their heart manifest to try to bring dissension on the teams there and make that whole thing less effective than what it could be. Praise God, we didn't see any of that kind of junk take place at all in this trip, because God was going before us. You guys were praying for us, and God helped us out in so many ways. But being a target of Satan, what that means is, in the old days, on the old westerns, how many folks realize the number one coach and wagon to get attacked by the enemies, by the outlaws, were those who were carrying the most gold? The more treasure, the more value, the more the outlaws are drawn to that to try to attack that, and of course, and take that thing down. We also see in sports how it's always the best players in football get double teamed. People like DeMarcus Ware on the mighty Dallas Cowboys football team. This guy's always got two men guarding him because this guy's so good at sacking the quarterbacks and around the edge there, going through the defensive lines and attacking those quarterbacks in a great way. They get double teamed time and time and time again. And also we realize it's always the officers in war snipers try to take out with their bullets and their weapons, because again they become targets of the enemy because of rankings upon their shoulders and upon their lives. There are enemies around us, realize, that are so stealthy we might actually sense their presence, but we can't always discern how they're operating and working in our lives or around our lives. That's why the Bible says don't be unaware of Satan's schemes and Satan's devices. He's very subtle. He's very stealthy. Doesn't always announce himself like a roaring lion. He comes many times like an angel of light. You don't always see what he's doing until it's sometimes too late. That's why it is so important to take and pick up the shield of faith every day and say, Father God, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I will not be taken unawares by the tactics and schemes of Satan in my life, in Jesus' name. Amen. God will always shine light to dispel darkness for those who call upon his name and walk before him in mighty ways. Oftentimes, again, the enemy comes to slow down God's agenda for your life. Yokes are put upon us to try and weigh us down and burden us down. Jesus Christ says, my burden, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We find ourselves getting worn out by doing things for God, by doing our own business in workplaces there. It may be we put upon our shoulders a yoke that is not from God. It might be actually from the enemy. And God wants that yoke broken, that his lighter, breezier yoke might take its place. I always say that God's yoke is made of balsa wood. The enemy's yoke is made of wrought iron and teak and some kind of a heavy kind of a wood. Amen? It always is too much for our bodies to bear and our bodies to carry. I also want to say this morning, you might be a pioneer today. Maybe you're the first one in your family to ever receive a college degree, to ever buy your own house, to ever have a godly husband or godly wife. Those first things, those pioneering things, also gets the devil's attention time and time and time again. But realize again that God says, the first fruits belong to me, and God will help us get through the first things as pioneers. If we'll always call upon his name and say, Father God, it's not by my understanding, but it's by your might, by your power, by your grace. This first thing will be in my life as a blessing and not as a curse in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells us what? It says, God gives you the power to get wealth and adds no trouble to that also in your life. I told the congregation here a few weeks back, reminded you guys that Cheryl and I both are first as far as ministry is concerned. Her family is not a Christian family in the background. They had no ministry experience, no pastoral experience, no missions experience. She was born in Africa, not as a missions child, but as a daughter of secular workers in secular fields. My father was a farmer. My grandma was a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, died at age 93, godly woman there, but had no ministry experience herself also in her life. And so we're plowing some ground ourselves as firsts in ministry, but God gives us grace to do that. You even find that Jesus Christ himself did not choose the trained Pharisees and the trained Sadducees and trained leaders of religion. He got the fisherman, the accountant, the doctor, and all those guys who were first. He brought them out as raw material and somehow shaped them into world changers for God's kingdom as only God can do. So I'm saying this congregation, you might find yourself being a first, to the first one to write a book, the first one to write a song, the first one to lead somebody to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your family. But I'm saying celebrate those first things, and may God bring forth more and more first fruits in your life, that he might bring also multiplying effects beyond that, as only God can do. Let's plow in now to these yokes, these eight yokes I want to talk about today. You might find these being in your life, and I believe God wants these yokes broken off of us by the power of his Spirit, if they're on our backs at all. The first one here, all these are found in the book of Isaiah. So Isaiah chapter 13, verse 1. And again, Isaiah is perhaps the most powerful prophet in the whole Bible that gives out messianic prophecies. And he shows it throughout the book of Isaiah what Jesus Christ will do for the body of Christ. The benefits of the cross, of the blood, they're all found there in the pages, the chapters, and the verses of the book of Isaiah. And so I see in these yokes being talked about here, these are all the yokes that are broken by the death, resurrection, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. And one more side note also, I encourage you guys, go see the new movie that came out yesterday or Friday that's called Jesus, the Son of God. I understand it's right now breaking, it's doing great, it's selling out all over America as far as the theaters are concerned. And I believe God again, I even saw on the secular news channel, I think NBC, last night at 5:30, they said that for some reason, this seems to be the year of the Bible on movie screens across our country. There's all kinds of movies coming out here about Noah's flood, the Son of God, and about other things in the Bible found there throughout this entire year of 2014. The Holy Spirit spoke to me back in January and said, I'm doing this because I'm giving the people of America an opportunity to know that Jesus Christ is their only Savior and answer in this lost and dying and falling nation and world around us in these last days. And so praise God, may the church be mobilized, may the church be energized, may the church be revived, understand that harvest is coming upon our doorsteps by movies like this also helping us out as a tool for evangelism in this age. Amen. It is not by accident that God makes these things happen in nations like this. God's got a plan. God's got an agenda. I want to get behind it and bless it all I can by my mouth, my actions, and my words. Amen? So let's move on here. Number one is Isaiah 13, verse 1 on the screen here as well. It's called the yoke or the burden against Babylon, which Isaiah, the son of Amoz, actually saw. The burden of Babylon deals with systems or cultures. Systems and cultures. Verse 19 goes on and says, and Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. So it speaks here about the people of Chaldea, the people of Babylon, people of Sodom and Gomorrah. It speaks about cultures and systems that are ungodly, unholy, how these things have polluted the body of Christ or people of God in some way. And it talks about a yoke of bondage being put upon us by the systems and by the cultures of the enemy in our nation. As I was in, again, in Myanmar last week, the Spirit of God spoke to me during praise and worship time on one of the services there. And he said, this people in the church over here are being tempted by a spirit of Buddhism, in that Buddhists believe in reincarnation. They believe in many, many lives. You can do the best you can in one life, come back in the next life, hopefully not as a dog or a cat, but you come back as a millionaire the next time. They hope so. So it's a thing called, I think it's called Nirvana, is being trying to be reached there. And Hinduism is kind of the same type thing. They're trying to earn things to get a better reincarnation. But through that, the Holy Spirit said to me, in the church, people are getting kind of a lackadaisical attitude here, saying, if I can't make it right in this life, there's always one more life down the road to lean upon. But the Bible says to Christians in Hebrews, I think it's around 11 verse 9, something like this, it says, it's appointed for man one time to die, after this, the judgment. We don't get two or three chances, amen? And so all we do for God in this life is what counts for eternity as far as our rewards go, obedience goes, and what God says to us when we see him face to face in only a few days, months, weeks, or years, amen? And so again, this first one here, it talks about these systems and the cultures of our nation can put a yoke on us that's of slavery. In America, like all nations, there are systems and cultures that are not of God's kingdom. We're being pumped down our throat right now again, the whole thing about gay marriage, and thing about legalizing abortion to a bigger extent, legalizing marijuana. These are all systems and cultures being put upon even the body of Jesus Christ. I'm saying to yourself again, the Bible has got to be your standard for how you live on the face of the earth. Not because God wants to bind you up and harm you and control you. God knows what is best for you. God made you. God formed you. Chevrolet GM engineers know how a Camaro works better than Ford does. Amen? And so you don't go to Ford dealerships to get Camaros worked on, because GM made the Camaros, made the Corvettes. Go to the maker, go to the creator, go to the one who made you and say, what is normal in your kingdom? Because that's what is best for me upon the earth. Not just me, but my grandkids, my children, all those who are influenced by me. I need to know what your kingdom's all about and follow that. Amen? Number two, it's called the burden against Moab. Isaiah 15, verse 1 talks about this, the burden against Moab. What did Moab do? The Bible says Moab slept, was a place where Lot slept with his own daughters and created what's called the Ammonites and the Moabites from that illicit relationship. Remember, the Bible says that Lot's wife was told by God, don't turn around and look back at the place burning up with fire called Sodom and Gomorrah. She disobeyed God, turns into a pillar of salt. She dies. And now the two daughters of Lot say, what do we do? We have no options now, because our father is the only one alive. And all these guys, all these men around us in Sodom and Gomorrah are now wiped out and dead. We have no chance to have a family in our lives. They've run out of options. And so the curse of Moab, the yoke of Moab, it talks about it becoming a lack of options in your life. They get their own dad drunk. They become pregnant by him. They produce what's called the Moabites and the Ammonites from that illicit relationship. So it's called the burden, the yoke against Moab. Many of us want to do more, want to do better, want to see things take place in our lives to expand around us, but we find ourselves having few options to see those things actually manifest that God has for us. We find in the verse of Isaiah 15, verse 1, going on beyond that, we find words like withered, nothing green, abundance carried away, crying, wailing, weeping bitterly. All these are words that come out of a fruit of having a lack of options in our lives. Because of a lack of education, a lack of the right friends, the right influences, the right tools to work with, because of a lack of options, it seems like I can't get where God wants me to go. God can break that yoke off your life, and God can increase your options, as only God can do, to bring forth his promise for your life. Amen? Number three, Isaiah 17, verse 1, is called the yoke, the burden against Damascus. It says, behold, Damascus will cease from being a city, and it will be a ruinous heap. The burden of Damascus is a lack of organization, because all cities need organization to keep on running. We need plumbers, electricians, road workers, mayors, government, police force. We need an organization here to make our cities function right and be a fruitful place. Amen? We might find our own selves, our own lives here, how we're finding a lack of organization in our lives. And it's called the burden and the yoke of Damascus in our lives as well. Number four, Isaiah 19, verse 1 is called the burden, the yoke against Egypt. Against Egypt. It's known mostly, of course, this place is for slavery. The burden of Egypt is a lack of progress. We find ourselves getting bogged down. We find ourselves getting no promotions. We find ourselves involved in what's called wilderness wanderings. These things are because they burdens on our back, perhaps a yoke of slavery there that brings to us here a lack of progress in our lives in supernatural ways. Number five is Isaiah 21, verse 1. It's called the burden against the wilderness of the sea. And it goes on and says, as whirlwinds in the south pass through, so it comes from the desert from a terrible land. The burden of the wilderness of the seas is a lack of mobility. Lack of mobility. It means I don't have the right vehicle to get me from A to B. I don't find myself being mobilized. I find myself getting stuck all the time. I got great dreams. I got great visions. I'm seeing things around me in real supernatural ways. But I just lack myself seeing the vehicles, again, the tools and resources that God wants to put in my hands to see these things come to pass in my life. These yokes, again, can be destroyed because of God's anointing in our lives being manifest. Number six, Isaiah 21, verse 13, is the burden against Arabia. It says here, in the forest of Arabia, you will find yourself lodging. This is called the burden of having a lack of habitation. You find yourself always renting things, but never owning things. You rent your car, you rent your house, you rent whatever around you, but you find yourself not getting involved in ownership. One of God's blessings is, my people shall own and possess lands and houses and trees and vineyards and so forth, not just rent them, but actually own them in due time. Now, God's calling us again to see this yoke broken off our necks and our backs. You won't find yourself always being a renter. You're going to find yourself being an owner in Jesus' name. Number seven, Isaiah 22, verse 1 is called the burden, the yoke against the valley of vision. And it says here, what ails you now that you have all gone up to the housetops? And so the burden of the valley of vision is a lack of direction, a lack of vision, a lack of being able to see the compass that God's placed inside your heart to know what direction do I take. So many believers, they think, should I live here? Should I go there? Should I work there? Should I marry her, marry him? They lack direction for their lives. That's actually a burden. It's a yoke that's broken by the power of Jesus Christ. Last of all, number eight is Isaiah 23, verse 1, the burden of Tyre. And it says, wail, you ships of Tarshish, for it is laid waste. And the burden and the yoke of Tyre is lack of money and lack of resources. The ships have sunk. The ships have set sail, laden down with silver and gold and treasures. But shipwrecks have come, storms have come, and the treasure has been lost. Time and time again, the Bible says it's a curse for us to have pockets with holes in them, for all we receive goes right through the holes, goes right back out there again to society. God is saying again, these burdens, these lacks, these yokes have all been purchased to be broken off our lives, off our shoulders, by the power of Jesus Christ. Amen? So, let's look now at here in closing in a moment at yokes. The Bible says, what God has joined together, let no man separate. This means there's going to be an attempt to separate everything that God puts together in the Bible and also in your life. Now, what has God joined together besides man and wife? The Bible says God has joined salt and light together. God has joined tithes and offerings together. God has joined praise and worship together. What God joins together, let no man, the Bible says, separate. But also the question is, who has God joined together? The Bible says God joined Moses to Aaron. God joined Ruth to Naomi. God joined David to Jonathan. God joined Paul to Barnabas. And God joined Joshua, actually, to Caleb. What God joins together, let no man separate. Now, Satan knows that verse, and Satan does all he can to divide things that God joins together. Have you seen that? The Bible says, what tried to separate Moses and Aaron? A woman named Miriam, the sister of Moses, tried to divide them, separate them apart. What about Ruth and Naomi? A woman named Orpah. the sister-in-law of Ruth tried to separate those two and get them to come apart and break covenant. What about David and Jonathan? It was Saul, the father of Jonathan, tried to separate those two apart from each other. What about Paul and Barnabas? It was John Mark, the disciple of Barnabas, brought separation to those apostles for a few years in their lives and ministries. And in Joshua and Caleb, it was the 10 spies that tried to divide them apart and say, the giants are too big, the land is too great, the walls are too high, we cannot take this city. Everything that God joins together, Satan tries to come in there somehow, some way, through people, and divide those things asunder. May your marriages be secure. Amen. May your walk with your spouse be secure, but also may even friendships that God brings together be secure in these last days, in Jesus' name. What God joins together, let no man separate in your life. There are things the devil will orchestrate to try and get us joined with in a wrong demonic type realm as well. God's about to bring increase and strength to our lives. And the Bible says that Gideon was told by God, rise up in your power, rise up in your might. And what does Gideon do? Says, I am fearful, I am lowly, I'm the least of the least, I cannot do what you say, because Satan speaks into his mind and says, I don't care what God says, here's what I say, in the natural fleshly realm. What I'm saying to you guys right now is, don't let the devil speak into your mind trying to divide what God has joined you to in a righteous way in your life. If God promised it, if God said it, if God did it, God will keep it going, and God will breathe on that, and God will multiply that in due time, as only God can do. Amen. Don't let Satan lie to you and bring division and bring separation to what God joins together in your life. Let's look now at Genesis chapter 27, verse 39 and 40, the example of Esau and Jacob. These are twin boys born, of course, to Abraham, to Isaac, and then to Jacob, and Esau comes after them. Born to Isaac. Verse 39 goes on and says this, then Isaac, the father of Esau, answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling Esau shall be of the fatness of the earth, of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. It shall come to pass, when you become restless, you shall then break his yoke off of your neck. He was saying, Esau, you've lost your birthright. Your brother has deceived you. He's a heel grasper. As you came out of your own mother's womb, did all the work there, he grabbed your heel and has had a free ride right out of your own mother's womb and into the world with not even an unshaped head, because you did all the work for him. His name means supplanter. His name means deceiver. He is your enemy, it seems like. But he says, when you become restless, you will break his yoke off of your neck. The Bible goes on and says that Esau got mad at Jacob, wanted to kill Jacob. Jacob flees away for many, many years. And Jacob comes back with his wives and his sons, the 12 tribes of Israel, upon the borders of Esau. Esau comes out to him. Esau's lost the birthright, the blessing of a firstborn. But Esau tells Jacob, I don't need your gifts. I don't need your cattle. I don't need your gold and silver. God has blessed me abundantly because I became restless and I broke your yoke off of my neck. What God is saying to you and I is, don't look at all the other believers around you. They seem like they're prospering. They're doing great. They got great marriages, great homes, great whatever. And you find yourself struggling all the days of your life. God is saying, when you become restless, you will break that yoke off your neck in Jesus' name. And find yourself just as blessed as all the folks around you in due time and due season. The question today is, what does the word restless actually mean? The Hebrew word restless means have dominion, repent, which means change your mind, your thinking, win your freedom, and your power has been increased. God's saying to us, when you realize your dominion, you realize God's power, and realize again that God is for you, not against you, you shall become restless and break these yokes off your backs in Jesus' name. Do you find yourself this morning having lack of mobility, lack of money, lack of resources, lack of vision? All these lacks here, all these burdens here have all been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those yokes have already been broken for us who call upon the name of the Lord and say, Father God, in specific, I want to see these burdens broken off of my back. I'm going to have James come back to the platform now as I'm going to close in prayer in a moment. But I want to read Leviticus chapter 26, verse 13. Leviticus 26, 13 is the second mention of the word yoke in the Bible. And it says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and now made you to walk upright. The Israelis were people of God, covenant with God, blessed by God, but they've been in slavery so long in Egypt, they only saw themselves as slaves. The sad thing is, the Bible says, of 2 million Jews leaving Egypt, only two of them got their minds and hearts right before God to cross the Jordan River to the other side. They still saw themselves as beaten down, lowly slaves. They thought, manna and pillars of fire by night and pillars of cloud by day. They didn't realize all of heaven was opened up to them if they call upon the name of God. As we close in prayer in a moment, I want to remind you the Israelites made one big mistake, and that was they didn't realize that God's a God of love, mercy, kindness, compassion, but he's also a God who waits for people that belong to him to ask for things in his name. There came a situation in the desert where they said, we're sick and tired of manna. We're sick and tired of this coriander type seed looking stuff. We eat an oatmeal and like oatmeal or like toast. We bake it, we fry it, we mash it. We're bored with this manna every single day. We want some meat. They began to cry out, grumble, complain, and gripe at God. And the Bible says God made a wind blow in. Millions of quail come in up to their almost their knees, the Bible says. I think that's what it said. They ate quail till it came out their nostrils, is what the Bible said. But then it says a curse also was with that. And a plague broke out and killed many Israelites. Now, why would God do that or allow that? The fact was, these guys did not ask God the right way for the quail. The quail was always there for the taking. They would have asked God for it a long time ago. They didn't realize that God's a God of compassion, mercy, abundance. But he says, I want you to call upon my name and ask me for things, then I'll bring those things to you when you call upon my name and ask for them in the right way. These guys got rebellious. They got angry, impatient, in the flesh. So things came to them by force and came with a curse also. God is saying to you and I, there's a yoke and a band upon our shoulders sometimes that will cause us to get angry at God and sometimes almost want to curse God. And say, Father God, this yoke and burden is too heavy. Take this thing off me in my way. And God is saying, no, it's not by your might or by your power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. And that means by the spiritual character and nature of Jesus Christ, our yoke's broken. We don't demand that God does things. We don't make God do things. We ask God and say, Father God, this thing is too big for me. I need your help. I need your strength. Yokes can tie you to a system of slavery, make you not enjoy the blessings that God has in store for you in your life. In these last days, again, we're going through in our nation, the nation of the earth here. I really believe that God's got in store for people breakthroughs in their jobs, in their resources, in their marriages, because God wants to show you off to a lost and dying world who needs Jesus. Your coworkers need to see you smile. Your coworkers need to see the joy of the Lord all over your face. They need to see you having a prosperous life, a blessed marriage, blessed children, peaceful existence, because that speaks to them volumes like nothing else will. They'll want what you've got when they see God's joy, God's peace, God's provision in your life. Amen? Well, our heads are bowed right now and our eyes are closed for a moment. Here we're going to pray. I'm going to pray this today in the end of this service. If you see any one of these eight yokes evident in your life, God wants those yokes broken off your back by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read these lacks again while your heads are bowed. I'm just going to read these lacks that you might want to identify these again today. One of them again, it talks about systems, customs that have come inside my mind, my heart, that are not what God's word demonstrates or talks about. The second one talks about having no options, lack of options. Next one's a lack of organization. The next one's a lack of progress. I can't progress in my life. The next one's a lack of mobility. I can't get where God wants me to get to by lack of education, lack of vehicle, lack of money. The next one is the lack of having a place of lodging. No, I don't own anything. I rent all things. Number seven was, again, a lack of vision, direction, being able to see what God wants us to see clearly. And the last one, again, was lack of money, lack of resources. My pants have got, or my pockets have got holes in them. And all that I receive, it goes right through it in the ground, it seems like. Father God, today as we're here to pray and here to listen, Father God, and here to speak out, we, oh God, know that every yoke has already been broken by the power of Jesus Christ upon that cross. But Father God, our soul, our minds may still be bound up some way, somehow. And we're seeing systems, we're seeing cultures, we're seeing things around us not breaking forth the way they should. And it could be, oh God, because there's yokes upon us that you want broken off us today, oh God. Being replaced, oh God, by your yoke that is easy, your burden, oh God, that is light. So Father God, this day we pray for ourselves. You say, Father God, take every yoke off my shoulders. In the name of Jesus Christ, that holds me back, that blurs my vision, that gives me no progress, where I see a lack of money, lack of resources, I say those yokes be broken off my shoulders in the name of Jesus Christ. And I praise you, O God, this day, that I take on, O God, your yoke that is easy, your burden, O God, that is light, like balsam wood, breezy, no sweat, no perspiration. Father God, I praise you, O Lord, this day, that the work for you that you called us to is not hard, not difficult. It may kill us in the flesh, but Father God, your grace is sufficient for us in all you've called us to do, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. While your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed one moment longer, I'm going to ask a question today. If anybody in this room, in this congregation, in this sanctuary, does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or perhaps your heart is far from God today. If that's the case, the Bible says you're already weighted down by many burdens, many cares, many things that slow you down as far as God's kingdom is concerned. God is here today to forgive, to cleanse, to wash, to be your God, to be your Lord, to be your Savior, but also be the one you follow all the rest of the days of your life. We've heard it said time and time again, your tomorrow begins today. Your new life can begin this day, Sunday, March the 2nd, 2014. If you'll say, Father God, I want to sell out. I want to give my life to you totally, completely. I want to receive, oh God, your burden, your yoke, your desires in my life, in Jesus' name. If you're like that this morning, would you please just raise your hand for a moment? Just raise your hand real high so I can see it. If you're like that today, anybody else? Just raise your hand so I can see who it may be in the congregation. Anybody else? All right. God bless you, folks. Let's all stand to our feet, please. Let's all stand up. If you raise your hand or did not raise your hand, either one, but know you need to receive prayer from someone today to see this burden broken off your back, off your neck, and receive Christ's burden, Christ's yoke, which means his lordship. It means he owns you. He possesses you. He loves you. He's for you. He lives inside you. He's for you, not against you. I want you guys to raise your hands out to make one more step today. If you do that, please. Go ahead and step out of your seats. Go ahead and come to the front now if you would. I want our prayer partners to come to the front now also. Some of our prayer partners can come to the front here. Help us out. Let's give a hand clap of praise and thanks for this young lady here. Others over here as well. If your hand was raised up, go ahead and come to the front, please. And somebody here will meet you up here to pray with you and pray for you. I just sense one more thing I want to release today. And Father God, I just pray that you'll take every marriage covenant, everything that you have joined, oh God, together in this room, this congregation. Let no man separate those covenants in the name of Jesus. I also pray, God, for lasting friendships, lasting covenants, God, among men and women, Lord God, in the places they work at, in this church, out there in the highways and byways. Let us, oh God, trust one another once again. And I also pray, God, heal marriages, heal relationships, going through divisive times, going through times of thoughts of separation. I praise you, God, this day. What you've joined together, no man will separate. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I praise you. I thank you for it, Father.